It's time to Talk It Over, starring Diane Diamond, Lee J. Berman, and Louise Palanker. Give us a call at 888-531-7171. Email us at talkitover@gmail.com. Join us online at talkitoverradio.com. Because we're ready to talk it over.
Oh, in fact, we're already talking it over. Hello, everybody. We are the radio program that tackles the world's conflicts two people at a time. Who's driving you crazy? Tell us. We'll give you some solid advice
right
about
here
how
in
to
the
deal.
Room.
Talk It Over Radio is here for you so you can try to figure out how to deal with that annoying person in your life. I'm Diane Diamond. I'm a journalist, an author, a columnist. Over there is Louise Palanker, our resident comedian, author, and professional wiseacre. Say something wise, Wheezy.
Wise or acre-y?
Acre-y, I guess.
I don't have anything.
Yeah, okay, let's move on. Okay, there's Lee J. Berman. Lee J. Berman is our professional mediator. He does this for a living, folks, but he gives you advice here absolutely free. All you got to do is call in 888-531-7171, 888-531-7171. Hi, Lee J.
How are you, Diane? I think you left something off your bio. You did your quick, I'm a journalist, I'm an author, and a TV star again.
Oh, that's right. Well, yeah, I've been on Entertainment Tonight lately.
Every night.
Like every day since Michael Jackson passed away.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. You're an author too, Louise. You write a book.
I'm an author, and I have an iPhone app that's a book, and it's gotten over 10,000 downloads.
Wow,
really?
I know. I just hit the 10,000 mark, and it's very exciting because you get feedback from people when you have an app because they can write little reviews in the app store.
Well, I don't have an iPhone.
I have to tell you the most recent review I got. Mm-hmm. It said, I love this book, and by the way, I'm a 13-year-old guy.
Oh,
that's cool.
That was so cool.
Because it's written from a 13-year-old girl's view.
Yes.
Right,
yeah.
And I'm still waiting for the sequel. I loved the characters so much. I just want to know what happens next.
Say the name of it.
It's called Journals, Middle School, Love, and War, and you can find it on Amazon.com or in the App Store.
There you go.
Very cool.
And I wrote a book, too.
And Diane, let's turn your book into an app.
We should, except I don't even have an iPhone. Anyway, it's called Be Careful Who You Love, Inside the Michael Jackson Case. And because he passed away, you know, I wax poetic on Entertainment Tonight. For the foreseeable future.
Wait, but I have a personal question about that.
What's that?
Because, you know, the death is tragic.
It is.
But did you notice a change in your book sales after the death?
You know, Simon & Schuster did reissue the book in paperback. Big paperback. It looks really nice. And I guess it's selling. I don't know. I've been kind of busy.
You've been busy.
I haven't looked.
Okay.
But anyway, Amazon.com is the best place to get it. So you know how we always like to start with something newsy in the news, sort of where we are wondering about the talk it over moment?
Because we are on the cutting edge.
We are.
And
what's
going on?
What do? We solve the world's problems, conflicts.
Two people at a time.
Bingo. So I just thought that the return of these journalists from North Korea captivity, Laura Ling and Yuna Lee.
Does Bill Clinton have game or what?
Is he like a rock star or what? Exactly. But, you know, they were held 140 days. And I'm wondering to myself, what was the talk it over moment with their husbands? One of them has a little girl. Hi, I'm going to an enemy combatant country, and I'm going to go try to prove that they're involved in human trafficking.
Right, and we have no diplomatic relations with them. And
none.
I'm basically going off the grid.
Yeah, bye-bye.
And undercover, yeah.
I mean, was there that talk-it-over moment with their husbands? Did Al Gore is the one who owns the television outlet that they work for, Current TV. Did he sit them down and have a talk-it-over moment and say, now listen, ladies, be careful, don't cross the border? Or did they just go willy-nilly?
You know, I'm sure that a lot of stuff was discussed, and since we don't know, and since we weren't in those rooms and we're not in those families, we don't know exactly what was discussed. Probably a lot of tears were shed, a lot of hugging, and a lot of prayers. And we don't know. I mean, it's a very good question. When you go off to do something dangerous, because a lot of people do every day. There's a lot of soldiers going off to war.
Sure.
There's a lot of policemen going out to work every day, and a lot of people whose jobs are dangerous, not to mention the deadliest catch guys. Holy crow. What do they say to their wives? So,
I think sometimes we get so involved in the excitement of the moment. Hey, I'm going over to North Korea that we forget to noodle it forward and talk to our loved ones about things that could go wrong.
Yeah. You know, I got to tell you, I was in a workshop one time, one of these deep dive workshops where we're working on our real personal stuff. And the guy I was doing an exercise with, his wife was an investigative journalist, and she was over in, where was it? I think she was in Kuwait during the second wave over there, mm-hmm. and in harm's way, and was pregnant with their child.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. I just got chills because my husband was in Kuwait as well, and we had long talks about insurance coverage and everything. But she was pregnant?
She was pregnant with their child, and he, you know, this big, macho, strong, powerful guy broke down in tears because he was so upset because he didn't want her to be there and he couldn't win the argument.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so those talk it over moments are difficult because it's, you know, this is my career, honey. Versus, yeah, but that's our child and our safety and our future. And do we back down from that and favor those things? It was a really difficult conversation. And essentially, it became with them an either or. It was like competitive and he lost. And so she was there with the baby pregnant and in the line of fire, literally.
And did everything come out okay?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, everything is fine. But boy, those are difficult discussions.
Well, again, I would just say, if you're going to go do something wild and crazy and breaking the law. I mean, they did break the law. They broke international law.
So we're sure because the whole time we were hearing
that because the sister now has come out and said, yeah, well, they did cross the border.
And they knew they were doing it.
Yeah. Oopsie daisy.
Did they bring back any souvenirs, snow globes?
They brought back some
salmonella.
Portraits of the supreme leader on velvet, I think. Like
oh,
Elvis,
my gosh, on velvet.
Thing. Anyway, listen, there's
sounds about right.
something else in the news I really want to talk about here. I would like to have a talk it over moment with the makers of a new doll that teaches little girls and, you know, like 5 to 12 years old how to breastfeed.
I want one.
Stop it. This
They're
doll.
Not for fun, Louise.
Oh, can you believe this doll comes complete with, I'll call it pasty that the child attaches to the strategic point on her chest. And then when you bring the baby doll to that spot, she begins to suckle.
That's pretty creepy.
It's a kind of creepy. I mean, as a mother of a daughter, I don't think my daughter wouldn't want one now. She's a little old for that, but I don't think I would have bought that for her.
What's next, the sexual intercourse dolly?
Stop. Maybe.
But
that's a good point, Louise. I mean, did anybody at this toy maker sit down and go, ooh, will there be backlash?
You know, I just...
I'm sure they knew.
I'm such a free market guy that I think, great, let them make the doll. And if 4 people buy one and they lose a ton of money on it, then that's our way of voting with our feet. You know, mm-hmm.
Is it called
a tough
the Suckle
one
Sally?
Because, I mean, breastfeeding is...
Suckle Sally doll?
Suckle Sally. Oh, no, wait, that's Mustang Sally. Anyway.
I had a Chatty Cathy. Did you have one?
I did. I had a Chatty Cathy. Lee J's eyes are crossing.
No,
what are they
G.I.
talking?
Joe, sorry. Yeah.
My Chatty Cathy could beat up your G.I.
And
Joe.
And guns, big guns.
but I just think it's kind of weird, don't you? I mean, what's
way
the,
creepy.
What's the talk it over you'd have with the child?
Ooh, yeah.
This
is, you know, this is how mommy feeds the baby. And I mean, I suppose there is, you know, if you've got a 2-year-old and you're having a second child and you're worried about how that 2-year-old is going to assimilate with the second child and all of that, then maybe, you know.
Maybe it would be good then.
You know, maybe as a teaching device in that sense, you know, the 2-year-old can have, or 3 or 4-year-old or whatever she is. I don't know. The whole breastfeeding thing is a difficult issue because it is a natural thing. And yet some people are offended by it in public. And, you know, now you're teaching small children about breastfeeding. And so what happens if this little girl whips off her shirt and puts her pasty on and starts breastfeeding in the middle of Denny's one day, you know?
Or on Facebook.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. Well, you see, that's why I like this show. That's why I like the time I spend with you guys. No, because really, Lee J, you've made me think in a different way. I'm like, get this doll off the market. But it could be very beneficial to teach a little one, hey, this is what's going to happen.
It's natural.
The baby's coming in a month, and, mm-hmm. you know, I don't want you to be, but this is the way you know how you eat. This is the way the baby will eat. This is, you know.
Yeah.
That's, yeah.
Wait a second, you guys. You're not bringing me around. You are not bringing me around. This is creepy.
All right, so we just are not.
I don't want a dolly nipping at my boobie.
I wonder if Wheezy was breastfed.
Yeah, what's that all about, Louise, huh?
I was breastfed, if you must know.
I just...
There's no pictures of it on Facebook. Yeah. Oh, we're going to the phones. Matt, who's on the phone?
All right. Yes, next up on the Talk It Over lines, we've got Johnny. Hello, Johnny.
Yes, hi. How are you doing?
Hey, Johnny. Thanks for calling Talk It Over. Tell us what's going on with you.
Well, I've got somewhat of a situation whereby, I mean, as most people do, they've loaned some friends of theirs some money, and... totaling about $7,000. Yeah, well, I, you know, kind of got in a situation where I had felt sorry for this friend of mine. But the monkey in the wrench is, I believe that he's now hooked on some sort of pain medication.
Oh,
gosh.
Well, here's the thing, Johnny. You never lend a friend money. You give friends money. I can tell you... Mm-hmm. Money doesn't come back. It maybe comes back 1% of the time, unless it's your brother or your, you know, your dad or your son or something like that. But with friends and money, you have to be prepared to part with the money.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I've got to tell you, on the contrary, and this is maybe falls into the brother category, but my best friend in college, we never went a day, virtually all through college or for the next 15 years after college, where one of us didn't owe the other one money.
Well, you guys are both deadbeats.
Somebody was short, somebody had extra, somebody fronted somebody money for something, and boom, 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 boom. And we always owed each other money, and we always paid it back, and we're best friends to this day.
But that's the ebb and flow of settling up. And this isn't, $7,000 isn't the ebb and flow of settling up.
Right.
It's
right.
You
it
and Abe.
It was just over such a period of time, and he needed this here and that there, and then there was a legal thing, and I paid for the attorney.
So
and,
Johnny,
you know,
where are you with the discussions with him right now about paying it back?
They're kind of at a halt. What I made the attempt to do was possibly do some sort of an intervention because he's in denial regarding the pain medications.
Yeah.
And then from that point, if he was in a sober state of mind, maybe something could be resolved.
That sounds important, and it sounds like he needs to know that you're serious both about caring about him as a friend with the intervention and about the money, that this is a business proposition. This isn't, you know, you don't get to mooch off me and take advantage because I'm your friend. It really is setting the boundaries of your friendship in both ways, and I like it very much.
But it's a long way to go toward...
advantage of, you're right, yeah.
Well, I mean, Johnny, it's a long way to go towards getting your money back. I mean, job one is we've got to get him off the pain meds, and then you're still not going to get your money back. That's... my prediction, but you
that's
care
a pretty
about
dire prediction. You might.
Well,
Weezy's had some bad experiences with loaning money. I can tell.
I have never received back any money I've loaned out to a friend in that kind of a substantial amount.
All right, so Johnny, what are you going to do about this?
Well, I was thinking small claims court. You know, as another option.
That's your last case, and I'll tell you why. You've got the ability to sit him down, have this intervention, have a conversation with him about the money. You've got the ability to say, I don't need it all right now, but I do need to have some start coming in toward it and us to keep an accounting together so that we're counting it. If you go to small claims court, that becomes adversarial, and it gives him permission not to pay you and to make you come chase him, and that'd be your last resort.
So you think my best route here, and also probably to get my friend back, would be to really form out some an intervention team to see if we could get him into a facility. But here's the catch. Who's going to pay for the facility?
And how long will he be there? And while he is there, he's not working and he can't pay you back. Yeah. It's a real catch 22.
Well, I'll tell you this, Johnny. It's not going to be you. And do not get roped. You can't fix everything about this guy, and there's a lot that's broken right now. He's a drug addict, and he owes money. So he's in a deep hole, and I don't want him pulling you any further into that hole.
Right. So it's a natural progression from the intervention to say, and you need to square up with your debts. And have him sign a note to you that you've pre-prepared that I owe you $7,000 and will pay you back. And I give you my word and my personal guarantee, and make that part of his commitment at the end of the intervention. Because once he acknowledges the debt, you're halfway home.
Oh, that's good.
The worst thing that could happen is he gets sober, he gets clean, he comes back and says, no, it was never that much, man. It was like $1,000. And so have him acknowledge it.
That's good.
During that conversation. And then you can work on payment terms and all of that later. When he, like Diane said, when he's out, when he's working, at least he's acknowledged it and you're halfway there.
Okay, that's the direction I'm going to go in. Thank you.
Sounds all right, let
really
us know
good.
How it goes, Johnny.
That's
thanks.
Really good.
Thanks for sharing that, Johnny. Thank you.
See what happens when you can call Talk It Over Radio? We've got the answers. If you just listen, we are eminently intelligent about it all.
Except we don't always have an easy time pronouncing the word eminently, but that's for another day, for another show.
Rub it in. Just rub it in. No, okay. I'll get that knife out of my back now. Okay. So, hey, here's a Talk It Over email we've gotten from Sean in Colorado Springs. My girlfriend keeps getting the dumbest looking haircuts. Shaved on one side, a mohawk looking thing the next, then blue hair with a red streak. It's kind of embarrassing, and I'd like to tell her so, but I've heard her tell her friends, this is my personality. Gee, I don't want to strip her of her personality. Since I feel this way, should I just try to talk it over or move on?
Sean, you're in denial. Go ahead, please.
I would say move on, because you got to fall in love with the person that the person is. And if she's inclined at this phase in her life to get all those kinds of different wacky hair doodles, then that's the kind of gal she is. She's probably going to get some piercings and some tattoos and a little of this and a little of that. And that's kind of who she is.
Wow.
And if you're not into it, and every time she shows up expecting to see a big smile on your face with the new hairdo and you've got a big frown, that's a mismatch.
Yeah.
To me.
I agree 100% with Louise. Guys have a bad habit of having a blind spot for the woman they're in love with. And in this case, she's telling you, Sean, she's telling you, this is my personality. And you're saying, no, it's really just your hair. I love the rest of you. And you're not listening. This is her personality. Hear it, love it, or move on.
Yeah, I'm for that. Okay, Sean, my advice, run. Run. That's it. Hey, you are listening to Talk It Over Radio. We are your one-stop shop for advice on how to deal with all those crazy people in your life. You can give us a call at 888-531-7171 or send us an email, as Sean did from Colorado Springs, at talkitover@gmail.com.
Talk It Over is sponsored in part by the American Institute of Mediation, where leading mediators turn to continue their learning and career development.
We are Talk It Over Radio, solving the world's conflicts two people at a time. And we're just line them up. We'll knock them down. I am Louise Planker here with Lee J. Berman and Diane Diamond. And what do we got going on, Diane?
Well, I have a conflict right now. I have a laptop in my lap, and it's hot.
Oh.
Ow. I need something under there. Right. We got more email in as we were talking there.
Really?
This one is specifically for Lee J. So, Lee J., listen up. This is from TJ. Oh, isn't that cute? Lee J.
I get
TJ,
called that all the time. I bet he...
TJ in Memphis, Tennessee. My mother is a regular Talk It Over listener. She loves your show. Well, I thought I had something to talk over with her. The embarrassing way she dresses. Shirts that are too low cut, skirts that are too high. So I try to talk it over a moment with her, and she threw out Lee J's famous line.
Oh, no.
What about this makes you so uncomfortable? She totally turned it around on me. I didn't know what to say. All my friends say that she dresses like a slut. That's what makes me so uncomfortable. But how can I tell my own mother that? Any other talking points, Lee J?
Oh, my goodness. TJ, so far, so good. At least you started the conversation. And of course, I would ask you the same thing. You know that. What about it makes you so uncomfortable? And you're going to say...
She dresses like a
slut. Here's the thing, okay. TJ, what you want to say to her is, Mom, you're my mother, and it's hard for me to see you sexualizing in the way that you dress.
Does he have to use that word?
Oh, no, yeah, I think because, it's a girl. Because, I think TJ's a girl.
Oh, TJ's a girl.
I don't know. I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Either way, because it's hard for any child to see their mother in a sexual way.
Right.
Now, the other thing, TJ, is you got to recognize that you may be seeing her differently than other people. Now, if you say that your friends all say that she's dressing inappropriately, let's just say.
Provocatively.
I mean, I actually had that conversation once with my mom.
You're kidding.
I was a teenager. And I mean, at one point, now it was a little different. We grew up in the women's clothing business, so I had more exposure to that stuff than most normal guys. But I mean, at one point,
did you hang around the dressing rooms? Come on,
pretty close. Can I get you a different size in that?
Yes.
Can I unzip that one?
It was usually the other way around. Excuse me, sir, would you unzip me? But anyway.
Ooh, cougars, even back then.
Wow.
Cougars.
Yes, cougars, exactly.
Wow.
But I mean, there was once a time in my life I'd say, "Mom, come on, put a bra on." And
you did,
I, yeah. And but you know, I could say it jokingly like that without her being offended by it or whatever.
I can't say that to your mom, though. Can
no, no. Okay. But you know, you can
this
say, "Mom, come on, cover him up." You know,
wow.
Mom, you're bending over and the moon is shining, or you know, whatever you know euphemism you want to use.
The girls are out, Mom.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it sounds like it's gone past that with TJ. Gosh, I wish I knew if it was a girl or a boy. But anyway, she, they're embarrassed by their mother.
And that's, I mean, the answer to Mom's question, what about this bothers you so much? The answer, TJ, is it embarrasses me, Mom. I'm embarrassed for you. I'm embarrassed as your child. And really, at your age, it just seems more appropriate to be dressing just a little bit more conservatively. And then Mom has a choice of saying, "To heck with you, I'm comfortable," or saying,
"But you know
what? I'll take that into consideration."
It stems from insecurity, and so anything that you say might the person may take it the wrong way because people who dress that way are insecure.
Yeah,
that's my opinion.
I agree.
Well, that's your opinion, and we're sticking to it.
Yeah, we're going to the phones. Who's there, Maddie?
Yes, next up on the Tuck It Over lines, we've got Amy. Hello, Amy.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, Amy. What's going on with you? Tell us.
Well, I have a friend who is single and rents an apartment, doesn't have a mortgage or anything, and makes easily two times as much money as I do. Mm-hmm. And whenever I want to get together with her or she suggests getting together, she picks the most expensive places that are really not in my budget. And even, you know, birthday gifts, she'll buy me an extravagant birthday gift, and I'm really in no position to reciprocate. And I'm not poor, but I have a mortgage, and I'm trying to save for retirement. And it just kind of becomes a conflict because the things she wants to do aren't really in my budget, nor, if I could afford it, would I want to spend that kind of money. I mean, if she wants to go out for drinks, it'll be some hip, you know, L.A. bar where drinks are $12-14 a piece.
Oh my.
So, you know, how do you balance that with a friend who you want to see but who has much more disposable income than you do?
I think it's perfectly adequate, not only in today's times but in any time, to just say that's not going to work out for me this week. I'm trying to put some money away. You know, and you don't have to say I'm strapped or, you know, I'm in debt or anything. It's none of her business.
Here's my quick line. I always say, that's a little rich for my blood.
Perfect.
Yeah.
That's all.
I do try to say stuff like that, and then she just gets annoyed. And so we see each other less and less. And I would love to host her for dinner or go see a movie or something that's a little bit more budget-friendly. It's just, I'm not interested in, you know, spending that kind of money on an evening out.
I don't think you should have to spend that kind of money on an evening out, and I don't think you should get guilted into it or peer pressured into it. And I don't know how important of a friend this is, but I think that, you know, the firmer you get with it, the more respect she's going to ultimately have for you if she's a real person and a real friend.
What do you do when someone suggests an expensive restaurant for their birthday? You know, like 10, 12 people go, so everybody splits the check, and you might have a salad and, you know, one glass of wine. Meanwhile, someone else is ordering, you know, 3 Kettle One martinis and, like, the surf and turf.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. I hear you.
Can I go next time you have one of those dinners? No, I know exactly what you mean. Legit, what does she say?
It's always a challenge socially. You know, to answer that last question first, you do one of two things. You either step up and say, well, and one of the things that I see people do that sometimes works is they leave a little early. And they say, you know what, I've really got to get going. But here, I had a salad and a iced tea.
One drink.
Yeah. So you know, here's my $20 that ought to cover tax and tip or something, right?
Yeah, but you're also supposed to treat the birthday girl.
Yeah. So you kick in a little something for that. Or you bite the bullet and you say, hey, this is not about how much the food costs. This is about the price I'm paying to be out with her friends, and have a night out with the girls or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is my share of that fun for the night. And it's not really about whether, I mean, if the salad was $20 instead of $12, you paid $20, right?
Right.
So you know, you either bite the bullet or when the check comes, you just say, well, I had a salad and a drink, so here's, you know, $20 that'll cover mine and my share of hers or, you know, whatever. And let everybody else figure out how they're going to divvy it up. You know, you either have to be the one to go to swim upstream in the social setting where somebody grabs it and goes, oh, it's 25 apiece or 50 apiece or whatever it is.
Yeah, it's more like 50 or 60 or 80 apiece.
Yeah,
see, that's
troublesome.
Yeah, and you know what, Amy, it's Diane here. I think there's nothing wrong, as Louise said, especially in this day and age, to just say, If it's for somebody's birthday, that's something that's separate. But every other weekend, doing something like that, I think it's perfectly fine to look at your friend in the eye and say, I just can't swing that this week.
Yeah.
Gosh, I wish I could go. I just can't do it.
Yeah.
So a couple of things. One, do the dinner that you want to do with her and do a movie and invite her for those things and at least make your invites that way. Second, let her know that, hey, thrift is chic again.
Yeah.
So let her know that's
We're trying to get that word out, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Thrift is chic.
Thrift is chic. You can say, I have a diabetic cat. There's all kinds of creative.
You can ask her about her retirement. I mean, when you two have a girlfriend moment alone, you can say, man, my 401k or whatever is down like 60%. Are you able to stick money away for retirement? Because I'm having a hard time. And boy, I'm watching these people with their parents today in these nursing homes that are, $6,000-$7,000 a month, some of them.
I know.
And have that conversation with her and start the wheels turning.
And you can also suggest a great restaurant that isn't as pricey. A bunch of business people were coming into town. I think you guys were there. And the restaurants that were getting tossed around just sounded like, wow, that's going to be. And I said, let's go to Hamburger Hamlet. And it turned out to be great.
Because it's about the company.
They have great food, great drinks. It's about the company, and it's not $1 million. Mm-hmm. And there are really nice restaurants in that price range.
And, Amy, one last thought before we let you go. It's okay to phase this friend out of your life.
Yeah, she may be drifting away anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I just think we have different interests.
Yeah.
So.
And that's a hard realization, but Diane's right.
Yeah. Three Kettle One martinis could be fun, but that's also like $40. So.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's just a difference, in priorities, too, as far as where we each want to put our money. So.
There you go. You see, you're figuring it all out just by yourself.
And we outgrow our friends sometimes.
We do.
Yeah. Well, thank you, guys.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Thanks for sharing that.
Nope.
Take care. Bye-bye.
She hung right up on us.
She was going to say no problem, and I'll finish that sentence for her.
Yes. Anyway, that was a good call. And
we didn't
have
enough money to keep her on the phone.
I bet you a lot of people are in that position.
Oh, my God. That sounds so universal right now.
Yeah. Okay, so we've got emails galore.
Really?
I'm just looking at all of them. I hope we can get to all of them today. Let's see. Here's a good one.
Did she?
No name, no city. Mm. Right.
Oh, those are always the best.
I know. I love these. They're so. I'm strangely attracted to my next door neighbor's son, one of my son's best friends. Ew. I watched him grow up the last few years, watched him go away to college and come back a man.
Oh, my God.
He's now 20. Ever since he called me Mrs. Robinson and gave me a sly smile, I can't stop thinking about what could be. I'm divorced. He is of age. Still, I'd like to talk it over with him about keeping this a secret before we do anything.
Keeping
advice?
What a secret?
Well, she wants to have an affair.
He is off limits.
She wants to have an affair. She wants him to be quiet about it.
I think she should do it. I think she should destroy her whole family, lose her son forever, eventually break up with a kid and lose him too and be the scorn of the neighborhood. I think it's worth it, don't you?
There you go, no name, no city. There's some advice for you.
Well, I mean, if she's going to be doing research for Desperate Housewives, maybe, but I just think it's off limits. I think she'll become a desperate housewife if she does it. What makes people have those kind of taboo attractions?
Loneliness.
That's really what it is. It's not that he's her soulmate, it's... loneliness, insecurity, wanting to feel pretty. What is it?
She's a cougar. I don't know.
But what makes a cougar a cougar?
And the kid is playing her. When he calls her Mrs. Robinson, all he's doing is baiting her and trying. I mean, look, she said he's of age, right? Mm-hmm. So he's 18, 19, 20, 21. He went away to college and came back a man. He's 21, 22.
He's not a man.
All he wants is to know that women are attracted to him.
Yeah, we know what he wants.
Every size and shape of woman is attracted to him, and he's just flirting, putting it out there to see if she responds. That's all.
Well, she's ready to respond, and no name, no city. Our advice is
back away. Move.
Yeah, exercise some restraint. Be a grown-up.
Yeah.
Is that safe to say?
Yeah, I just, look, I have been divorced. I understand the loneliness factor and all that, but this is nothing but trouble.
Yeah, find online dating of men of appropriate age. Who you can have a conversation with. After.
You know, I thought maybe Matt would pull up the song, Mrs. Robinson. I always think
Diane's singing
Dustin
today.
Hoffman. Yeah, I'm all singy today.
Outside of the glass and the rain banging on there.
What is it with me? I don't know. Anyway, listen, coming up here on Talk It Over Radio.
Her step, doesn't she, Louise?
Yeah, I do. Cheery.
I'm
so cheery.
Cheery and crazy.
Maybe she's got a 20-year-old.
Yeah. No, stop it. Stop it, you crazy people. Anyway, look, when we come back, we're going to take some email from someone in Reno, Nevada, who's got an ethical problem with a neighbor. With an employer. And Sandy in Dallas has a problem with a neighbor. But we've got so much more than that. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
If you'd like to be part of the Talk It Over family, call 888-531-7171 anytime or send us an email to talkitover@gmail.com.
We are Talk It Over Radio, solving the world's conflicts two people at a time. Line them up, we'll knock them down. We don't actually knock people down, although that's an option sometimes with some of these callers.
But I have considered, but I have not.
You know, it's a good thing they're on the phone because some of these people. No, I'm just teasing. All of our callers are wonderful. What am I saying?
And they're coming from all across America. I'm surprised. All across the
world.
Have we had one across
Canada?
The world?
What?
Really? Wow, cool. Yeah. I had no idea. So this is a good one from Sam in Reno.
Oh, it's an email?
Yeah, it's an email. Okay. I just really want to read it right now. My boss wants me to do something unethical. I need the job, but I don't want to break the law. What should I do? What is the talk it over point here? You see how guys just come right to the point?
Yeah,
we
want details.
We talk about that a lot here.
We want dishy details.
What's he want you to do, Sam?
He wants you to have an affair with a 20-year-old? What?
Next door neighbor, yeah. No, Reno, Nevada. What could
Reno,
it be? Maybe something
anything.
Like money laundering or casino gambling or, well, it's...
You know, I think it's okay to say things like this. You know what, boss, Mr. Simperson? I'm not comfortable with that. What do you think?
You're really good at stuff like that. You just come right to the point. I'm just not comfortable with that.
I hope that we can still have a good working relationship, but I'm not comfortable with that.
So here are your approaches. That's the direct approach, right? The indirect approach is to say, wait, you want me to do that? Really?
Break into a hotel room and get OJ's things back? What?
So there's the indirect, there's the direct, and then there's the passive one, which is just to do it and harbor resentment or tattle or something else. So, you know, we all have choices about how we live. We either live the passive way or the passive aggressive way. We live indirectly where we hint around, or we live directly like Louise does very well and says, I'm just not comfortable with that.
I can even speak from personal experience.
Oh, do.
When I was a secretary at PM Magazine, it's a very, very ritzy talk show that was popular in the 80s. Do you remember PM Magazine?
I do remember. Barry Nolan used to host it, and then he went on to host Hard Copy, I worked there with.
I used to read PMS Magazine.
Yes. That's
another conversation.
I was the secretary, and then I got bumped up to writer and segment producer and that whole thing.
Look at you.
That was the start of her rise to fame.
Girl, that was a gal on the go. But the thing was one of my jobs was to order the office supplies from the main office supply section at Metro Media, Channel 11, Fox TV, whatever it's called now. And one of our segment producers used to come up to me and say, hey, could you order me a box of pens and a box of paper punchers, well, you know, whatever the heck he needed. And then I noticed him putting them in his briefcase and taking them home. So finally I just said, Eric, I'm not comfortable ordering you pens that you take home.
Good. And you were what, like 20 years old?
Yeah.
Good for you. We should all have your, what's the Yiddish word?
Chutzpah.
Yeah.
Backbone.
Well, anyway. I mean, I'm not saying it's
moral
always
compass.
That simple, but he wasn't ready for some kid to call him out, so he was okay with it. He went and stole his pens elsewhere. But it wasn't going to be through me. I wasn't going to be a conduit for him stealing pens.
Yeah, Sam, this is what you got to do. You've got to just say to the boss, look, am I understanding correctly? You want me to do this and this and that? And if the boss says, yeah, you have a problem with that, then you simply say, you know, I really kind of do.
Yeah.
You know, I don't mind doing this and this, but when you want me to do that, to me, that's crossing a line. And if the president of the company asked me, or you know, some auditing agency or whatever asked me if I did that, I'd have trouble answering to it. And mm-hmm. so, you know, I'm happy to help, but I can't go quite that far.
And hookers are people too, and we shouldn't have to kill them.
What? How do you know that's what the boss wants them to do? I think it's gambling proceeds or something. I don't know. Anyway, Sam, don't do it.
All right, don't do it. Oh, wait, we've got a caller on the phone. Who is it, Matt?
Yes, next up on the Talk It Over lines, we've got Sean. Hello, Sean.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Sean. Thanks for calling Talk It Over, and tell us what's going on with you.
I got a question. My girlfriend wants me to move in with her.
Mm-hmm. Ooh,
and
la,
she wants me to pay half the rent, but I can't afford that. What do I say?
What, you know, how badly does she want you there?
Pretty bad, I'm pretty sure.
Well, then you just got to tell her what's going on with you financially so
yeah.
that you don't... You see, what we're learning on this show from our professional mediator, Lee J. Berman, who's right here with us, is that you need to manage your expectations up front.
Yeah.
So she wants your presence there. You don't have enough money to split the rent, and that discussion needs to happen before you get, you know, 6 months down the road and you're in a deep financial hole, and then you're suddenly
yeah.
saying you can't... Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand.
And Sean, this is the start of your relationship. This is going to be, I mean, it's the start of the next phase of your relationship.
Yeah, we're like 7-8 months into it right now.
Yeah, This is the moment where you're going to have to set the precedent for the rest of the relationship. And this is not going to be the last time this comes up. She's going to want to take vacations and you're going to feel the same way and things. So you've got to sit her down.
Yeah, another thing. I'm getting ready to go somewhere where I really shouldn't go, but I'm going to do it.
Yeah, and you've got to listen to that little tug in your gut that says this is a mistake. And you've got to sit her down and say, look, I love you. I want to go away with you. I'd love nothing more than to go to this, you know, exotic vacation place with you. But you need to understand, I can't afford this. And I don't want you paying for me. So can we find something to do, somewhere to go that's not as expensive where we can have just as much fun? And
right.
if this is going to be a problem.
Water park. Public swimming pool is cheap. Listen, Sean, you're really smart to think about this now and worry about it now. Because like Louise says, if you let it go, it's just going to get worse and worse. And in this economic day and age, it's okay to say, I just can't do it. I can't swing it. There's no shame in it.
But here's the thing, you guys. He's in love and he's a guy. He wants his girl to think that he can take care of things financially. So what we don't want you to do, Sean, is to get in the habit of putting things on your credit card and not letting her know how you're paying. And then it being a problem a year from now, it's okay to say, you know, sweetie, I love you and I totally want to be there with you. But I can't quite swing this just yet. And I'm trying to save for our future. And once she hears you say the words, our future,
you got her hooked.
There'll be violins.
Oh, butterflies and glitter will come down from the sky. Sean, you just got to sit her down and say, hey, you know, this is the reality, babe. And you know what? Women dig that. Don't they, Louise?
We dig
honesty and stuff. And look really sad when you say it. Look really sad. And then we want to hug you and say, it's okay. We'll get through this together.
Yeah.
I'm making fun, but really it's true.
Yeah.
Women love honesty.
Don't pretend you're someone you're not.
Yeah.
And don't be someone you're not.
Yeah, that's true.
You can move in with her, but you're
very good with that.
You know, this is what you can swing. Your share of the rent is this, and that's what you can swing. And so under those circumstances, you would love to.
Yeah, otherwise I'll stay where I'm at.
Yeah.
Exactly. And Sean, if she doesn't get this, she's not the right one, and better to find out now.
That's
Bingo.
True. Huh?
Yeah.
So okay. it's a good litmus test. Have a good discussion.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks
good
for sharing
luck.
That, Sean.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, gosh.
Bye-bye.
You know,
there's a lot of financially based situations today, huh?
I was just going to say that.
The
economy, they keep saying, well, the recession's getting over and it's better. Really? Yeah.
But then what?
I mean, so, where?
Okay, so instead of 10% unemployed, we'll have 9 next. You know, I mean, it's not going to be a magic. No one's 401ks are going to bounce back up to where they were, and you know, the savings accounts aren't going to multiply.
They're not.
It just means that fall is going to stop, but we're still going to have to work hard and build it back up and watch what we spend collectively.
And unemployment's the last thing to recover.
Right.
Yeah.
And also, we need to learn from what happened, because a lot of that collapse was because we had been greedy.
We said that after the 80s, right? And didn't we also say it after the 60s?
Yeah, probably.
You know,
were we listening?
Just between
no.
us kids, just between us kids, it doesn't matter who listens as long as you listen.
That's right.
Yeah.
You need to be fiscally responsible and you need to live a life that's respectful to your money and respectful to yourself.
And that's just what Amy was having trouble with her friends. You've got to be able to stand up for what you think is right, regardless of, you know, what the wave is doing, because everybody's losing their homes right now who followed the wave of these, you know, fancy mortgages. And those people who did the right thing and had a straight mortgage and still own their homes are in the minority now, in fact.
Yeah, you know, wow. I used to make fun with my cousin, Sandy. We'd say, look at Grandma. She saves all that tinfoil.
Yeah.
And she, all those rubber bands. And yeah. She takes little sugar packets from the restaurant. And yeah, blah, blah. I now realize what that was all about. I mean,
yeah, she's crazy.
She, no, baby doll. That was not my point. She lived through very tough, austere times. And this, you know, she was smart. I think of all the money I have wasted because I didn't say... Well, no, just on crap. You know, my husband and I, we didn't sit and talk it over and say, do we really need that one more piece of art for the wall? Or should we save this money? And anyway, talk it over. If not with somebody else, talk it over with yourself before you spend money.
Good.
Hey, I told you about Sandy. Oh, another Sandy in Dallas, Texas, wrote in, email, talkitover@gmail.com.
Uh-huh.
This is a good one. My girlfriend is always sleeping with married men. She says she wants it that way. She wants her freedom, as she calls it.
Wow.
But come the holidays or when she's sick or wanting to go on vacation, she is pathetically alone. How do I talk with her about thinking about her future? It looks like nothing but dismal to me.
Oh, that's such a complicated question, because it's not just thinking about her future. It's thinking about all of the lives that she's
potentially ruining.
Ruining with reckless disregard for anyone but what her personal needs are in the moment. Married men have lives. They have people.
Yeah. They have children.
They have children.
They have wives.
And she's completely narcissistic.
Yeah,
and she's paying the price for that when it comes time for the holidays and things like that, where we have times of joyous celebration. She's by herself. But she refuses to let somebody into her life. Now, Sandy's question is, how do I talk to her?
I wouldn't talk to her.
You'd let it go?
You can't fix someone that's this broken. And I'm not saying the men aren't culpable. Of course they are. There's always going to be a married man who's willing to cheat on his wife. But why do you have to take part in that?
Well, that's, you know, that's a very good point. Sometimes there should be no talking it over. You should just leave people to their own lives and don't figure that you can go in and fix it.
It's just that if you want to stay friends with her, and when she brings up her loneliness or who she's in love with at the moment, you can just say, you know what? I don't really want to discuss this. You know how I feel.
Good. Now here's my gauge. You intervene to the point where she starts getting bristled about it.
All
then
right.
You've made contact. And then you stay in that moment and try and hold her there. And if she jumps up and says, I mean, I'm thinking of St. Elmo's Fire and the Demi Moore character. You know, they would try to intervene with her that way. And all of a sudden, she would just say, oh, well, I've got to go. I've got another married man, you know, picking me up in just a moment. Or, you know, let's go out for $14 martinis or something like that. And, you know, then when she does that, you let her go. But you try and you try to make contact and hold that contact, because it's that contact, that very contact with another human being that she's running from by having these relationships to start with.
Right. And I like the one line responses to, gosh, I'm so lonely and, you know, everybody's going away for Christmas, but I'm not. And it's just, sometimes it's tough to live with the decisions we make in our lives.
Ooh.
Isn't it?
Wow.
Or
and then
we've
she
got
can
to
take that home and
man.
Think, yeah.
A good available man.
Yeah, but you are responsible for your own decisions, and you make the life that you somehow want.
We're the captain of our own ship.
Yeah,
that's right.
And yes, you know, we are. There are circumstances that are kind of bumps in the water or rocks in the surf or whatever, but we're still the captain, and you can get back on course. We all have the ability to get back on course.
That's it. You are listening to Talk It Over Radio. We are the place to come because we solve the world's conflicts two people at a time. Give us a call, 888-531-7171. That's 888-531-7171. If we don't answer, leave a message. We'll call you back. And our email is talkitover@gmail.com. Okay, we're back. Now what should we do? Should we talk?
Did you have a conflict?
Should we
say?
Talk about my personal conflict?
Yeah.
I have a personal conflict.
I want to hear.
Okay, so there's somebody in my life, I'll be very vague about it, who talks like this. chews gum all the time. No, it's not you.
Okay.
I've never seen
so
you chew
annoying.
Gum. You know,
is she 11?
No, she's like 25 years old. And she talks like this. And she sort of just twirls her hair when she's talking. And she chews that gum like it's a cow with cud.
Yeah.
And I can't, like you say, Louise, I can't fix somebody who's broken. But I want to give her advice and say, you know, you sound ridiculous. And you look ridiculous with that gum chewing all the time. And I've resisted. I haven't said anything yet. Should I say something to her?
How close are you?
Well, she's someone sort of in an internship role in my life.
Okay.
A business. It's business.
I think
So I've hesitated giving her personal advice because it's a business relationship.
All right. Well, yes, but if she's a young person, then she's still probably interested in how she's coming across. And I think gum in the workplace is out of bounds.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of gum chewing anyway, unless you're really alone or really, really just with your family, with people that you know. Well,
or you're 11.
Or you're 11. I actually, this is just personal on it. I'm not passing judgment at all, but I personally stopped chewing gum at 19 when I repeatedly realized that it tastes good for a couple of minutes and then you have to find a way to get rid of it. It just became more trouble than it was worth. It's food that you don't get to swallow.
She's had the same relationship with men ever since.
but in the workplace, and especially when I'm teaching kids stand-up comedy, it's like, no gum.
Yeah.
You know, gum is such a distraction. And what you might want to say to this young lady is that, you know, you're so bright. And you open with a couple of compliments. You're so bright and you're so on the ball and you so get it. But I find it distracting to be speaking to you when you're chewing gum.
Oh, that's good. Oh, I like that. That's good.
Diane, here's what I think. Yeah. I think you've got to say to her in a bigger picture, what is it that you want in your relationship with me? We're here together. We're working together for weeks and weeks and weeks now. We may be working together for several weeks going forward and maybe beyond that. What would you like to have as a relationship with me? I mean, are you here just doing the job? Do you want some mentoring or coaching for me? What are you looking for?
Yeah, I think that she does want mentoring and
coaching. So have her ask for it. And when she does, then have the discussion that Louise says and say, look, this is my impression of you. You're very bright. You get everything done that you're supposed to get done. But it's hard for people to take you seriously because of the way you talk and twirl your hair and chew the gum.
Oh, that's really true.
And quite frankly, in this business, I learned a long time ago, you've got to be taken seriously. And I want you to start thinking about how you should be taken more seriously than you are right now if you're going to move to the next level.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good. Yeah, because you hit the nail on the head. People don't take her seriously.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, she's very bright.
Because this
you
isn't a personal thing. This is a business coaching moment.
Mm-hmm. And you can say, I know this is probably about nerves. So, and we're all nervous, you know, here in life and here at this job. And it's probably about nerves, but these are things that it's kind of a performance when you're at work. And if you were looking at a performer that was on stage twirling their hair and chewing gum, you'd be really distracted. And when you're here at work, it's kind of a performance. You are who you are. And if people are seeing the gum chewing and the twirling of the hair, they're not really getting to know you. You know, I'll tell you something personal. I was changing planes and in an airport, and I don't even remember what airport I was because it was somewhere between here and Branson. But I wanted to go buy a magazine. The woman behind the counter was cracking her gum in such a way that I didn't even want to spend long enough in there. I mean, she, to find a magazine.
She
averted customers. I mean, if her boss had known that my guttural reaction to that was, I don't want to even be, you know, within the range of where I can hear that sound. So I'm not purchasing a magazine at this store because the gum cracking is such an irritant to me.
That's amazing that she doesn't know that.
Yeah.
That these young people do it. I sound like an old fuddy-duddy when I say that. But the other thing is the way the kids talk today, you know, everything is up and like I'm like this and I'm going here and she goes and
Diane's been in LA too long.
Everything is in a question, even if it's a statement.
Oh, I know. And in New York they talk like that too.
Really?
And it's all across the country. Young people, I go to a lot of places. I give a lot of speeches to college classes. The one place that I didn't see it or hear it was at a law class at New York University. Mm-hmm. I gave a speech not long ago to a group of budding young lawyers who were taking a class on what will happen when you come up against a big media case.
Ooh.
You know, people like Diane Diamond are going to come out of the woodwork and make your lives as lawyers miserable. And they were very, studious and attentive, and they didn't talk like this, you know. But I'm going like, oh my God, at all the rest of them. And I would like to say something to people, young people out there, that this does not make you sound cool and together. Yeah. It makes you sound immature and silly.
But there's a way to say it, and they do look up to you, and you are a mentor, and I don't think that they hear the tone of their voice. And sometimes at that point, because I can remember things that people said to me when I was in my 20s that I really took in, and I really heard, and I kept them with me the rest of my life. The right mentor in the right time. And it could be you.
Yeah. So. Well, I guess I will say something to her, because I really do like her. And she's very smart. And she, unlike other interns I've had that like sit around and wait for you to tell them to do something, she's very proactive. And she's very interested in all sorts of, you know, how come that's that way? And what is this? And can I sit in on that meeting with you? And do you mind if I accompany you here and there?
So, like what Lee J said about asking her, are you interested in some notes?
Yeah,
I have some notes.
I like that.
And
yeah,
I like
I do
the way
like that
Louise
very much.
Started to describe it. And you know that Jim Alamed, one of my early mentors, taught me 15 years ago when I started in mediation. When you're giving somebody feedback, he said, give them an Oreo. Start them off with something sweet. Then you cream them. And then you finish them off with a cookie. That's the way to think of it is don't just hit the negative point. Couch it in the middle of everything that they do right. If, in fact, they have all these things that you really like about her.
Right.
And then you can really say, this is the one thing that I see that's holding you back right now.
And it's so simple.
And you'll have her attention
right.
at that moment.
And she's an intern who is moving on and will have to get other jobs other places. And she's started to ask my opinion about what she should put on resumes and what she should.
Good.
So I think next time that comes up, maybe, is the talk it over moment. You have to pick your moments.
You do.
Yeah, it's all about timing.
So now it's like, pull your hair back and put the skinny little glasses on that people wear today and
since you're really, since you're asking for my advice, can I give you some advice? Drop the gum.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's distracting. Well, anyway. Okay. All right. So
you'll know when to do it.
I'm pretty good at timing.
And we want to hear.
What? Hello?
We want to hear how it goes, too. Report back to us.
I will. I'll let you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, there's another Talk It Over email here. Where did it go? Oh, yeah. Here it is. This is from the grandkids in St. Louis. Oh, boy, I don't think we've ever had this kind of a problem. Our 83-year-old grandmother shoplifts. Not big things, but a pack of gum or a package of emery boards. It's not that she lacks money, because she doesn't. And she's not forgetful either. She's sharp as a tack. Both my sister and I have taken her to the store and watched her do this. It's a wonder she hasn't gotten caught, as she's not very stealthy when she shoplifts. What do we say? Because we've decided we just have to talk it over with her before she gets locked up. Before the police come, and she gets locked up.
I think, you know, just like, Grandma, please, you're supposed to be setting a good example for us.
Yeah.
Steal big things.
Forget with the pack of gum.
This is just direct. This is, Grandma, come on, what's with the shoplifting, really? I mean, what are you trying to prove? What's the deal? And just call her on it, put her on the spot, and let her say, oh, it's just a little something, or whatever she says.
And they have use that word for her, shoplifting? That's shoplifting, Grandma.
Yeah.
Do they have a scared straight program for grannies? Wouldn't that be awesome?
I don't know. You know, one time, I have to tell you this. This is an embarrassing story. When I was a kid, I was in, I think, a Woolworth or something, and the girl I was with slipped fingernail polish into my bag and her bag.
Well, that's your
and
story.
No, seriously. really, because I was too scared at that point to ever do anything bad.
How old were you?
I was just trying to think. I was probably about 12 or 13, and it was right before Good Friday.
Oh, boy.
And the police officer who came, I grew up in Albuquerque, New Mexico,
busted.
Was Hispanic, and it was like, you are keeping me from Mass.
Oh, my God.
And, oh, double whammy. I felt so guilty. Oh, my God, he can't go to Mass. I should be in Mass. Oh, no. And, of course, my mother had to come down to the police department and get me. And it's just like, ugh, the shame of it. First of all, I didn't do it. But if I had, the sheer shame of it would have forever stopped me. So maybe Grandma just needs a little shaming.
Maybe she needs to get busted.
Yeah. Oh, maybe that's what you do. Get the security guard at the store to go over.
Point. That one over there. She took something.
Yeah.
And then just watch.
Oh, well, I don't know. Yes, you have to talk it over with grandma, and I agree with Lee J. Use the shoplifting word and use the police word.
Yes.
Because older people would get that.
Yes.
And frankly, I mean, if you want to go there, you say, grandma, what's missing in your life that this has to be, you know?
Mm-hmm. I'll follow your name.
Maybe grandma needs a man, right?
All right, we've got, we're going to the phones, Matt. Who have we got?
Yes, next up on the Talk It Over lines, we've got Doug. Hello, Doug.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, Doug. Thanks for calling Talk It Over. Tell us what's going on with you.
Oh, just your typical divorce with communication problems with the wife and this with the kids.
Aww.
That's pretty much it.
Well, what would you like to talk over and with who?
Both of you is fine. I mean, you can chime in, but what's really the problem is my wife doesn't discipline the kids at all, and that's just always has been the reason why we got divorced. She won't. It all started from when they were young, from potty training to, you know, drinking this with a sippy cup for way too long that the dentist told her not to, and she'll do anything with the kids to just not have them cry. You know, she'll even just give them food or candy if they're crying and not deal with the actual problems at hand.
So would you like to talk something over with your ex-wife regarding the kids?
Yeah, I'm going to talk to her about it. We just kind of fight about it. She doesn't want to deal with it. She'll just say, you know, just stay out of it. I'll deal with it. Don't worry about it.
Sounds like you're past the talk it over with the wife stage, right?
I'd like to figure it out somehow that she'll listen to me. But
Doug, you've got to, because how you raise the kids and this very important difference that you've got isn't going to go away just because you get divorced. It's going to get worse because your communication is going to get more strained and you're going to have a tougher time talking with her about it. So what I would seriously recommend is a third-party intervention. I mean, you really need to sit down with a counselor and each of you have a conversation in a joint session with a counselor about the raising of the children and say, look, we're getting divorced. Oh, you have?
Yeah, we did right when we were first getting marriage counseling. But you know, part of the problem is she works very long hours, you know, in a very, very stressful, important position. And she just, by the time she gets home, she just can't deal with any of it as far as.
Yeah. So here's the pacifier. Here's the sippy cup. Here's
exactly.
A cookie.
It all started with that. It took, you got it. Everything you just said.
Yeah.
Pacifier, sippy cups. It's whatever it is to take the kids to be happy.
Because she can't handle more stress.
Anyway, you have to cry a little first before they get
TV,
you know,
video games, and the work. So how old are the kids?
3.5 and 6.5.
Okay, so they're still very little.
Doug, it's Diane here. Maybe what you need to do is sit her down and have a different kind of talk it over moment. It sounds up until this point, it's like, you can't do that. You shouldn't do that. Don't give them a sippy cup. Don't. Maybe you need to sit down now. You're getting a divorce.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a terrible, sad time in your life and her life and the children's lives. And sit her down and say, look, I know how hard you work and I know what a burden it is for you with these children. And you know what I think about the way you handle it. How about if I get 3/4 of the custody? And you can see them 1/4 of the time. That'll ease up the stress and strain of your life, Annie, or whatever her name is. Oh, Sally. Sally's the name we always use. That'll ease up your life, Sally. And then she'll see your concern about the discipline of these children on a completely different level. Now you're talking about taking custody away 3/4 of the time. You think that might work?
Possibly. I mean, I don't have the actual time to do that, so I don't know if that's that's realistic. But I just need to have a sit down with her and discuss how.
Doug, here's the thing.
Because it's bad. Because when the kids were with me for the, you know, one day a week, they'll say, oh, well, you know, mommy lets me do this, and I said, well, no, we don't do that here.
Good for you.
Differently.
So, Doug, here's the conversation. You can't have a conversation with her about why you're right and she's wrong, because all she's going to do is have the same conversation with you about why she's right and you're wrong and butt out. This has to be an acknowledgement that I like to do it this way. You like to do it that way. We know what each of us wants. Now let's talk about it from the kid's perspective. If it being raised as a child, what's going to benefit them and make them the best grown-ups when it's time for that? And you got to have that conversation with her and get her to leave that protective space of what she wants, and you leave the space of what you want, and both of you really have a candid conversation about what's going to make them the best kids they can be. What's going to make them get better grades in elementary school and you know, eventually get into a good college and all those sorts of things, and how you two can be responsible for that.
Absolutely.
It can be hard now or 10 times harder later. Those are her two choices.
Right.
Those are the only choices you get with kids.
And if you're the thoughtful one, you're the one who has to initiate this, Doug. Sit her down. Talk it over.
Thanks so much for calling, Doug. Thanks for sharing that.
Thank you so much. Thank you, guys.
Oh, and Diane, one more thing. Mm-hmm. Sally called. She's on the phone. She wants to know why you're always picking on her.
Sorry.
Sally's got issues.
I swear.
Sally and Chad.
Call us, Sally.
All right, we are out of time. We'd love to stay and chat, but I want to thank all of our callers for sharing their situations with us. I want to thank Webmaster Pierce, Producer Trish, Engineer Matt, Lee J. Berman, Diane Diamond. I am Louise Palanker, and with that, Talk It Over is over.